righty, loves. Welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Well, I'm glad that you guys are enjoying the show today. It's always a good feeling to come back after a weekend wondering if you still got it. Of course, I don't, but you guys do. So that's good. Anyway, talking about how we are dressing in America, and have we become a nation of slobs? And along those lines, what is it particularly that turns you off? Is it, like, one of my least favorites is seeing people who apparently work in some health-related profession wearing scrubs out in public? And I'm sorry, I think that my affinity for nurses is very well known. I freaking love nurses, okay? Nurses, when you go to the hospital, you be very kind to the nurse, because you don't know this, but the nurse is the one you're going to be dealing with the most, okay? The nurse is the one you got to buddy up to. But darn it all, no scrubs in public, because honestly, I see somebody, the few times I do go to a grocery store, I think I was in one within the last decade, and I see scrubs, I immediately think, okay, what kind of virus or bacteria are lurking in that? What kind of bodily fluid might be in there? And how do I explain to somebody that, really, honey, I got gonorrhea because I was too close to somebody with scrubs? Think that would fly? Probably not. But wearing hats, wearing baseball hats inside buildings, does that frost you? And what happened? What happened between 1970, where people along the glass at a Sabres game were wearing suits and ties and dresses, and now, where if they're not wearing jerseys, they're certainly not wearing suits and ties and dresses, I'll say that much. What happened? Can I get some explanations here, some societal explanations? And, you know, there's something else. This is totally off the beaten path, but one of my big turnoffs is, have you ever gone into somebody's car and it looks like the only thing missing is a sign on the outside that says dumpster? OMG. That is one of the biggest turnoffs ever, because it has been just over a year since being in Florida, trying to hightail it away from the hurricane, that I was in one of the ride-sharing service vehicles. And there were four people, and I volunteered to sit in the front seat because the driver left food wrappers and crumbs all over the front seat. So I basically was hanging off, literally half-butted, off the front seat because I didn't want to get all dirty and filthy. That was, don't mind saying, a major turnoff. Look, this sounds really stupid and really petty, but when you go into somebody's car and it's just... there's just like papers everywhere, wrappers everywhere, crumbs everywhere. Like, please get it detailed and don't do that anymore. And I confess, I used to be one of those people when I was starting out in this business. And it was always newspapers. I would always have a ton of newspapers in the car as if I was actually ever going to read them. And I got out of that habit quite some time ago. My car is relatively pristine. The only thing I really have in there is a baseball cap, not for restaurants, but you know, to block the sun when sun needs to be blocked, and a walking stick. Why a walking stick? Because there are times when the kidney stone makes its presence felt and I need something to literally lean on, which, you know, it's stupid. And all I can say is what I've said before, how something that is four centimeters large can cause such discomfort is beyond me. And by the way, along those lines, let me just tell you something that you already know, but I'm just going to be repeating something that is your previously held knowledge base. If a physician says there's nothing inside of you, and you say, no, there is, you need to do another test, make sure you have the other test done, because the x-ray said kidney stone was gone. And I said, it's not gone. I can feel it, and I will show you exactly where it is. So I had the CT scan done last week. And I'll be darned, the CT scan showed exactly where I was pointing to on my body. Basically, if you must know, it's hung up in the ureter and it's not moving. And the last thing I need is for that to block something. It's got to get taken out. I mean, it ain't moving. And I don't have the stomach for apple cider vinegar. And I've eaten lemons like they're going out of style, and nothing has happened. So they gotta get that bad boy out before it does something nasty. Anyway, too much information? Probably. Sorry, I'm the king of too much information. But I know about the procedure. I know that they will use anesthesia, which should make the show I do after being anesthetized again really good. Okay, I'm likely to say anything. I might fall asleep at the microphone. I'm not going to take any muscle relaxers, though, like that one show I did after the neck fusion. I can laugh about it now, but it was horrible. It was just awful. But I promise I won't come on the air if I'm still feeling the effects. All right, but I know exactly what they have to do. And yes, thank goodness I'll be anesthetized and possibly euthanized for the procedure. But it's like, really? Why can't I just have a kidney stone just come out like it's supposed to? Why do they have to go in and get it? I mean, what is this hide and seek with things in my body is getting a little bit old. It's not the end of the world. It's not a big deal. But damn. Anyway, hey, the good news is if they do it that way, they should be able to analyze what is causing the kidney stones so they don't become a regular occurrence. Funny thing is, both kidney stones hit in the summertime, 6 years apart. That's weird. Weird to me anyway. All right, 803-0930. I'm trying to convince somebody that lots of tequila is actually good for kidney stones. She's not buying it. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And how do you dress? What bothers you about the way people dress and the venues at which they dress that way? I'm curious. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to some more calls, shall we? Want to hear from you on we did grinding your gears last week, but specifically about fashion and have we become a nation of slobs? Here's Gary in Orchard Park, where everybody is well-coiffed, well-dressed, and well-heeled. You're on WBEN. Gary, welcome.
Tom, we suffer from a debasement of culture and standards in our society, and it's reflected in our language. It's reflected in our dress. It's reflected in our manners. And we judge people every day.
Yes, we do. Yes,
and,
we
and
do.
I'm gonna pick on you. You are very precise with your language and your words and your vocabulary, and you need that to be successful in your job. If you started, you're knowledgeable on the subjects, but if you mumbled and said, how long would you last on the radio?
Okay, I will answer that. Occasionally, I do use those verbal crutches, like but one of the things about doing this is callers like yourself very early in my career would call me out on it. And I would say, you know what? They're right. So I consciously try to avoid those verbal crutches. I'll finish this thought very quickly. I must confess that I might hold the English language at bay for a few minutes, but eventually I will fall into a grammatical, linguistic, or syntactic pit from which there's no escape.
Well, and let me say, I think I and the and your listeners appreciate the precision of your language and your thought. You know, like you said, you're in a non-visual medium, so you're not judged on your appearance. But if you were on TV, that would be different. And the point I want to make is there has been a general overall degradation in standards, and again, in language, in dress, in manners. And my personal way of fighting back against that in my company, if someone sends me a poorly written email with grammar mistakes or spelling mistakes, I just delete it. And then people say, hey, I sent you an email. I say, yeah, I know. Well, what do you think? I said, I deleted it. And they say, why? I said, I couldn't read it. And so I do think I think that, like, you know, the way John Fetterman dresses, it's an insult to the institution. It's an insult to his constituents. And I think we have to fight back. I think as a country, we owe it to each other to raise our standards back up, whether it's in our language, whether it's in our dress, whether it's in our manners. And I just see a terrible overall degradation and assault on standards, on the way we treat each other. I hope the pendulum swings back, but right now it looks like we're on a one-way trough to really, really no standards at all.
Talking about the way Americans dress, have we become a nation of slobs? How do you feel about baseball caps being worn by men inside restaurants? People get totally bent out of shape about that. At least they used to. Do you still get bent out of shape by men wearing baseball caps in restaurants or other public places? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Back to Gary in Orchard Park. Let's get this back on the rails. You were about to say something profound, I sensed.
Well, actually, Tom, when I listen to you, I know that you are you're a fan of Shakespeare, and I think we would agree that his use of the language and his wit is something that I know you appreciate. The question would be, do you think we are even close to approaching the use of the language or the wit that someone like Shakespeare had? And are we on a one-way path to complete? Lack of is civilization eroding before our eyes?
That's a question I'm going to put out to the audience. Now, the one thing about Shakespeare that has to be said is we in our time think of Shakespeare as this guy who wrote in Elizabethan English and very high class, highfalutin Elizabethan. The fact of the matter is, Shakespeare's plays, you got to think of Shakespeare like Andrew Lloyd Webber. Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote for the audience of his time. Shakespeare wrote for the audience of his time. And the genius of Shakespeare was his ability to say the same thing twice, once for the people who were very well educated, and then the other for the groundlings, when talking about the sea, making the green one red instead of incarnadine in Macbeth. That's a great example of Shakespeare trying to appease both the groundlings and the people with the fancy seats. So Shakespeare had an understanding of the human condition that Freud, I don't even think, began to grasp. Shakespeare knew it all. Shakespeare was beyond brilliant, beyond amazing, an immeasurable IQ, not just the way he worded things, but the words he invented, the expressions he invented. Shakespeare's hold on the English language all of these centuries later is still, it's still pretty strong, although, as you have pointed out, it is being somewhat degraded. And somebody else said, we are judged every single day by everything we do, okay? Now, look, everybody's entitled to a bad moment. Everybody's entitled to a bad day, like when I couldn't get the thing in the drive-through teller thing today because they changed systems. But everybody is entitled to a bad day or a bad moment. But if you regularly present yourself with some semblance of dignity and class, people will notice.
Well, and I think the point I want to make, Tom, is human beings discriminate. We discriminate, and that doesn't necessarily mean in a negative way. It just means that we judge. We judge people by their language. We judge people by how they dress themselves. We judge them by how they treat other people, their manners. And unfortunately, I think that we're on a very, very slippery slope to oblivion. I hope I'm wrong. But right now, you know, based upon the way people speak and, you know, I look at John Fetterman walking around the Senate looking like a hobo, we've got to get our standards back because right now they're abysmal. And will they return? I don't think so. I hope so. Anyways, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. The other way of looking at that, if you believe in the pendulum theory of history, and if you believe in the rebellious nature of young people, there is a chance that the rebellious side of young people may actually swing the pendulum back in the other direction. In other words, kids do not want to be like their parents. And if their parents are dressing like slobs all the time, there may very well be a rebellious streak within the next generations that calls for an expansion of the proper wardrobe for future generations. There's always that possibility. Things swing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Maybe that'll happen. Or maybe we're on a greased pole and we're not going to go anywhere but further down. I don't know the answer to that, but I do appreciate your reference to Shakespeare. And kids, or if you have kids who are going to be taking Shakespeare for the first time, it can be very intimidating. And what you need to tell your kids is don't think of Shakespeare as a poet. Think of him as a playwright. And think of these things being acted out on a stage, not the sonnets, but the plays, the histories, the tragedies. And then it makes it a lot easier to understand. And once you've read a few Shakespeare plays, you will speak Elizabethan very, very well. And Shakespeare was writing at about the same time the King James Version of the Bible was coming out, which, by the way, that's my favorite edition of the Bible because it doesn't throw me because of my affinity for Shakespeare. I don't know if anybody else is a Shakespeare fan out there, and at some point I really wish Shakespeare in the Park would do something other than the same 10 plays they've done for the past 50 years. Richard II would be a really nice one to do, just saying. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800. Did I just insult Shakespeare in the Park? Yes, I did, because they do the same damned plays all the time when there's so much more Shakespeare has to offer. Find it infuriating. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Tanner Saunders behind the glass making the magic happen. It is Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. So are we dipping into the sewer? Are our toes in the sewer up to the ankles and maybe the knees when it comes to the way we dress? Are we a nation of slobs? Are we becoming a nation of slobs? When did it begin? What have you personally seen that has made you go, oh my goodness, to yourself? Actually, made you say what? You know. But anyway, that always happens whenever somebody calls in to say, I love the way you speak. Then I say something stupid. 803, not content-wise perhaps, but grammatically. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. And how do you feel about guys who wear baseball caps in restaurants? Personally, I never understood why it was a thing, but it's a thing. And I'm just one guy, and I can't change it, and I don't think I would if I could, because it's the way it's been. That's our Canadian reference for the day. Let's get back to the calls on WBEN. Would love to hear from women. Hey, women out there, especially single women, do you judge men based on the way they dress? Come on, be honest. Do you judge men by the way they dress, or are there other criteria that are more important to you? Just asking the question, because I personally think that if a guy cares enough about his appearance to put on a suit and look good, he is worthy of your attention. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Marty in Cheektowaga. We'll see what the ladies have to say, if we have any ladies listening. You're on WBEN. Welcome.
Hello, Tom. Marty again. Hey, yes. Real quick, I was divorced in the late 90s. Then I had a woman. Okay, whatever. So it was the year 2002. I heard about these single mingles. So, of course, I was from Riverside. The Riverside Men's Shop was still open. So I see this mannequin right at the front door with this nice black turtleneck, Italian, you know, like suit, or not a suit, but a sweater. So I walk in like, hey, I want that sweater on that mannequin. Okay. Italian virgin will. Next thing you know, my throat, nope, $79. I go, oh, so I bought it just to go out, man. But I still have that Italian wool sweater, man.
Well, okay, here's the
You gotta have class. You got to go out. I'm all about that. I was raised, my father taught me well. He died when I was young, but I have enough class to be, everything's cool. Never wear a hat inside. I hardly wear a hat, but no, you got to have class. You got to be debonair. But that was just a funny thing. I walk in like, ah, what's this going to be, $19.99, $29.99? Next thing you know, bam, it was like $79 for a
turtleneck,
black, look like the old Italian gangster sweater, but I still have that. But
no, let me tell you something. You want to hear a funny story? Funny story is there's a local men's shop that I am not going to name, and I got a text from them last week about having custom clothes made up, and I thought, you know what, I really should get some custom shorts. What does it cost? And it was between there. I had two choices. One was $490. The other was $650. And I'm sorry, I can't justify spending that kind of dough on shorts. No can do. But in many cases, you get what you pay for. Riverside
exactly.
Men's Shop. Look, Riverside Men's Shop, they're sponsors of ours. They sell quality stuff. There are also a lot of tailors around, and you can get yourself a custom suit for a lot less than you might think.
Oh, of course. I personally know Natalie, so that's cool.
Well, that's cool. Natalie Newman?
Natalie Newman.
And I hope she cut you a break, or did you not know her then?
Well, This was when they moved out, or of course they moved, but no, not that. This was before she took over.
Oh, okay.
They were still in Riverside.
Well, there's a whole generation of us got our first suits at Riverside Men's Shop.
Hey, they sold Levi jeans down on the lower level in the one corner. I was 15 years old. I went to work at the auditorium for the Delaware North Company, of course, Sports Service. I was prouder than a peacock because they had 3 months interest-free. I walked in to get two pair of Levi's jeans, man. They had a little pad like a waitress would have.
Yeah.
3 months interest-free, man. But Riverside Men's Shop had a lot of class.
They still do. I mean, I'm not going to lie. They still do. Now, I think the big question is, all right, you're a single man. You're on the prowl. You buy this gorgeous virgin wool sweater, meaning that sheep could outrun the shepherd, which was good. But the single mingle that you did you hit the jackpot or did you go home by yourself?
I walked a high-end woman who was actually a manager with the U.S. Postal Service. It was before the Grapevine took over, that place on Dick Road and George Herbert, whatever it used to be called. But it's the Grapevine now out in the, but yeah, it was funny because I walk in, actually your buddies, what was that? The Boys of Summer might have been playing in
the
year 2002.
They're great, yeah.
So it's like first time there, next thing you know, the snacks come out. So I'm laying back like, I'm not going to walk up there. Next thing you know, it's like, dogs, you know, Pavlov dogs attacking it, and it's like, what the? I walk up, everything was wiped out, and of course they didn't replenish the supply, but no, it's pretty cool.
Marty,
I think that was the only time I tried that.
it's a man's world, and I know that there's going to be women out there who are going to take that totally the wrong way, but I'm sorry, but heterosexual men who want to go out with heterosexual women, you have to have it. You have to have charisma. You have to have poise. You have to have confidence. The better dressed you are, the better off it is, and you don't.
Of course,
you behave yourself. You don't make the sex jokes until at least three drinks in. But one year after that,
I was stalking my credit union lady, and where I worked, we had an in-house credit union, and I've been with my lady 20 years, man, and it's all good.
Oh, so this is the credit union lady.
Oh, this was my credit union lady. No,
oh, well,
she was after.
Well, okay, that's great. Things worked out.
I only had to go out for about 6 months.
Well, Marty,
I landed my lady.
Well, I guess you got it, man. You got it.
Yeah, we got it.
All right, thank you very much. I'm happy to hear things worked out for you.
It was just funny that suit, or that I mean that sweater cost me $79 in the year 2002 when I was dead broke.
Well, turtlenecks I can't do, but thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
No, the little tiny thing, man.
Yeah,
you like them gangster movies? I was the coolest. I can't say I was like the cock of the block walking, man. I was cooler than whoever, and there you go.
All right, thanks for taking my call, bro. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And that particular use of the word was entirely appropriate because it was done in an agricultural context, just so we're all on the same page. You'll find the word in the Bible. Let's go to Ed in Amherst. Ed, you are on WBEN. Are we plunging into the sewer of slovenliness, or are we just where we should be? You're on WBEN.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I believe we are, but I wanted to address the issue as to why there was a change. And I won't tell you my age, but I graduated from high school in 1970. And I can remember going from kindergarten to first grade. And the big thing at that level was that in first grade, you got to wear a shirt and a tie. Okay? And I wore a tie all through grade school, all through high school, and actually a few years in college. And there was a change in the law, I believe, or somebody sued, and they found it to be discriminatory or against people who couldn't afford it to have a dress code in the schools. And they changed the dress code mandate back in the early 70s. And I think we've experienced a degradation ever since then.
You know, I was thinking in the during the break during Tom Puckett's news, I was thinking about how many young men today, like I'm going to say 35 and younger, know how to tie a tie?
Probably not too many.
I really wonder how many younger guys know how to tie a tie. And that is a necessary skill.
Well, I agree. You know, well, to this day, I'm not quite sure how to tie a bow tie, but I do know how to tie a tie.
I'm working on the bow tie.
that I've never really accomplished. But and then to also answer your question about, you know, do women like or judge men by the way they're dressed? You know, being a man, I can say that I do judge women by the way they dress. Okay. And, you know, and then also, you know, if you're 5'4" and you're a woman and you weigh 350 pounds, you really shouldn't be walking around with those black skin tight legging pants on with no cover shirt.
Okay? Whether you are a man or a woman, you need to dress the best as you can for the body shape you have at the time you buy your clothes.
Agreed. Yeah, and if you don't have the body shape, then, you know, sort of like be a little bit more discreet.
I would say that goes for both men and women. But look, I mean, there are so many ways in which we judge potential partners. Intelligence, empathy, the way they look, the way they speak, the way they dress. There are so many factors that go into establishing whether or not somebody is a potential mate for you. And I'm just kind of curious how high on that hierarchy women view men who dress well versus men who dress poorly. I mean, I've seen some interesting things lately, and I'll just stop at that. But I thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
I just wanted to say another quick thing is that on a complimentary basis, could I mention a high school teacher's name who dressed very well?
No, because that gets me into all kinds of legal gray areas. So
okay. Well, it was a history teacher in my freshman year.
I got to go. Okay, so I sense something bad coming up here, so I apologize for hanging up on you, but I just can't take that chance, and I hope you understand that. Because then the question is a high school teacher a public figure, a private figure? And then what if instead of a compliment, it's not a compliment, and then I get dragged into a meeting with legal and I hang out with enough lawyers. The other night, sitting at a local establishment watching my buddies in Back to the Bars, we had an interesting mix. A lady who works at Cheektowaga Town Court, a commercial airline pilot, a guy who owns a towing company along with his absolutely stunning wife, and my daughter, the attorney. and me the lowest one on the totem pole. But it was a great time. It really was. And the airline pilot and the town court lady, well, my daughter actually knew a lot of people that the town court lady knew, actually. And it's a small world. The legal community is such a small world in Western New York. It's not funny. Everybody knows each other. Let's go to Marsha, who is calling in from Lancaster on WBEN. Hello, Marsha.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's a Monday. It's a great day. You guys have made this a great show.
Although it's starting to rain. But anyways, the thing that I have had a very hard time getting used to in the last 20 years or so is the decline of the way people dress going to church. Now, I go to a non-denominational. It's a Wesleyan church, and the thing that I don't like seeing is men or people dressed in T-shirts with logos, shorts and flip-flops.
In church?
Yeah.
Okay. There is one mega church. I'm not going to name it. And I've been there a few times in the past many, many years. It's been a while. Every time I walk into a church, people get demonically possessed. It's bizarre. But there is one mega church where the pastors on stage wear jeans and very casual shirts as a matter of course. And you probably know of which I speak, but it threw me off a little bit. But the idea of people coming out of church looking as though they're just coming out of a refugee camp, I do find that somewhat disconcerting, and I think that people should take a lesson from our black brothers and sisters who go to the black churches, who are always dressed to the nines because they want to show their best to God.
Yep. Yep. I know. It just drives me crazy. You know, I mean, I dress casually, but I don't wear shorts. I may wear jeans, but those are the weekends that I'm teaching, 3 and 4 year olds, crawling around on the floor. But yeah, that drives me nuts. And no, I don't like hats in restaurants or dinner tables.
Mm. So one quick question, and you can answer this whether you're single or not. What do you notice about a man?
Okay, I am a 61-year-old woman, and if I were to see a man out that might be dressed in a nice pair of jeans and maybe work boots and a nice button-down, I'd be happy with that.
As long as it is appropriate to the environment in which you're seeing him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there are some restaurants around town. You're not going to get very far when you walk in that way. But yeah, it's got to be situationally appropriate. Like on the Bowerly and WBEN Facebook page, you'll see a picture of me on a boat, and I'm wearing a cutoff shirt with the name of the band I'm watching on it. Entirely appropriate for the circumstances. Entirely
Absolutely.
Appropriate. However, other places I will go, like Bobby J's or even Poppy Grande's, I'll wear a suit to see the same band because clearly I've got issues. I thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Good day, Marsha. Thanks, everybody, for calling in. I'm just delighted with the response to this topic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The baseball hat might even be a separate topic for a different day. I don't know. Anyway, thanks again for starting off the week with me. I appreciate it. Stand by because Tom Puckett Loves is coming up with the news at 6 o'clock on News Radio 930 WBEN. That's Buffalo's evening news. And I'll be back to drive this bad boy into the rocks and shoals of the sea tomorrow from 2 to 6 following David Bellavia's Excellence on News Radio 930 WBEN.